It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yes, we like to be goofy around here. Online at Amy After Hours, asking you, how do you think the baseball format should be? If you can design it perfectly, do you like the 3-game wild card, or do you prefer 1 game, 1 and done, or maybe no wild cards at all? There is talk out there that we're going to see baseball expand even more and add even more teams to the postseason, which I am staunchly opposed to. But I would love to hear from you again at A-Law Radio. And then also on our Facebook page, we'll put up a spot there as well. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We've got one more left in the wild card round. That's the Mets and the Brewers coming up on Thursday evening. Otherwise, it is full speed ahead into the divisional round that will begin on Saturday. So just one of them lasts a third game. Right now, we're pleased to welcome Kyle Glazer, who is a contributor for MLB.com and also a former senior writer with Baseball America. Kyle, let's start there. What's your reaction to just one of these series going the distance?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a reflection of we've had some teams that have been playing really, really well recently coming into the playoffs, and some teams playing really, really poorly coming into the playoffs. And we saw that play out. The Padres have been red hot. They have the best record in baseball since the All-Star break, and they went out and took care of a very tired Atlanta Braves team that obviously had to play that doubleheader Monday, was missing Chris Sale, was already out, you know, didn't have Spencer Strider, or Ronald Acuna, Austin Riley from injuries earlier this year. So you have a great Padres team that has been red hot against the slumping Braves team. You know, we saw that play out. And then the Orioles have really, really struggled. They have not been a very good offensive team for most of the second half. We saw that play out. They really struggled to score runs. They're pretty listless offensively during their series, and the Royals took care of it. And then in terms of Detroit and Houston, the Tigers have the best record in the American League since the All-Star break, and they've been the best pitching staff in baseball since about the start of August. And again, we saw that play out. They shut down Houston's dangerous offense over those 2 games and took care of business. So a lot of it's just a function of really, really hot teams taking advantage of some cases from really cold teams.
The Mets and the Brewers are the lone wild card series that go the distance. What stands out about those 2 teams so far?
First and foremost is, you know, we've seen both of them come up with some big, big hits and big, big moments. It was the Mets in game one, you know, the tie game, and then Jose Iglesias got it started and they were able to kind of run away with it. And then today in Milwaukee, Jackson Chourio. I mean, these are 2 teams that, if you look at their talent levels, is very, very similar. It's distributed different ways. You know, the Brewers certainly have a bit of a better pitching staff, whereas the Mets certainly have a better offensive group, but the sum of the parts is roughly even. And I think it's not a surprise to me that we're seeing this go to 3 games, the full 3, and both teams, I think it's a toss up who's going to win tomorrow. Again, they're very evenly matched in different ways with different strengths.
Are you a fan of the 3-game format now in year 3, Kyle?
I think there's certainly some extra excitement that comes from it. I personally would like to see baseball go back to the three division winners and the top two teams get the wild card and they just play, you know, one game. You have a lot of teams sneaking into the postseason at the back end that probably aren't postseason worthy teams. And then what happens is they get hot, they knock out some of the big dogs. And the World Series should be a showcase of baseball's best. And last few years, we've had a couple of six seeds in there, which I don't think is best long-term for Major League Baseball and its entertainment value. So I would like to see them go back to just the three division winners, two wild cards in each league. They play, you know, one game and then we get it started. That also prevents, you know, division winners from being punished in a way with, you know, 6 days off. The hitters lose their timing and all of a sudden, you know, they find themselves down one or two games and their season's on the brink.
So you see it as a punishment and a detriment, not a benefit?
When you have teams that are not playing for five straight days, yeah. When you think about the Major League calendar, that's unlike any other break they have. They don't have that for the All-Star break. They finish on Sunday and they resume Friday. And everyone's in the same boat. We've seen it play out time and time again. The hitters lose their timing when you take five full days off and you ask them to ramp back up in a very sudden death kind of situation. I don't think that's a great way to go about it, and that's not the optimal way for these, you know, top teams.
We're really excited to spend a few minutes with Kyle Glazer, joining us from Southern California, MLB.com contributor and a former senior writer at Baseball America. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Kyle, let's talk about the AL Central, which is coming in hot, getting through this first round, the wild card series, without needing the extra game. Both the Tigers and the Royals, they've overcome a ton of adversity. How did they get here?
Great pitching, first and foremost. Both these teams have had great pitching, particularly in the second half. You know, you look at the Royals, they very sneakily have had one of the best starting rotations in baseball. Look at Cole Reagans, Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo. These guys aren't household names, but they're really, really, really good pitchers and have been for a little bit now. They've been able to ride that, and we saw that play out in their opening series. It's going to be an interesting matchup, them versus the Yankees. The Yankees obviously have Aaron Judge and Juan Soto, but the rest of their offense has been very, very hot and cold. The Royals pitching versus, you know, whichever version of the Yankees lineup shows up is going to be very interesting to me. And the Tigers, they've had the best ERA in baseball of any team by nearly half a run since August 5th. Their ERA is 2.71 as a team running on 2 months now. So this is a really, really interesting pitching staff, and that they have an ace at the front, and then behind him, they've been having to mix and match and piecemeal together with some bullpen games. But AJ Hinch is a great manager who's been able to do it. They keep their opponents to 1, 2, 3 runs a game and get a few timely hits, and all of a sudden they win a lot of games, 2-1, 3-2, 4-3. That's been the formula. Going up against a Guardians team whose offense is not great, they have a chance to continue holding them down.
I'm glad you bring up AJ Hinch. I love that wrinkle. As great a run as the Astros had, seven straight appearances in the ALCS, it seems somewhat fitting that it comes to an end at the hands of an AJ Hinch team. What type of experience can he bring to the table with these young Tigers?
AJ Hinch is one of the best managers in baseball. He's one of the brightest minds in baseball and someone that really has the universal respect of everyone in the game. He's been here and done this before. He took a young Astros team, even before that ALCS run. They made the postseason in 2015 when no one expected them to. They were a very young team at the time that kind of came out of their rebuild early, and AJ Hinch was the one who steered them there and then was able to help get them get to the next level. Obviously, there was some illicit help along the way, which was later found out, but in terms of getting the most from young players, putting them in a position to succeed and grow and develop, AJ Hinch has a long track record of that, and it's not a surprise to see him do the same thing with these Tigers.
Kyle, we have an intra-divisional matchup in the NLDS between the Padres and the Dodgers, a series that you'll be in attendance for starting in Los Angeles. I love the fact that the Padres won't be intimidated by the big bad Dodgers like many other teams would be. How do you think they stack up against one another?
I really do think the Padres are the team that is best positioned to reach the World Series out of everyone in the field except the Phillies. Even though the Dodgers are the division winner, you look at the way the Padres are structured. You know, they have a deep starting rotation. Joe Musgrove leaving early tonight, you know, was definitely a hiccup. We have to see how serious his elbow tightness is. But even with that, You have Dylan Cease, Yu Darvish, Michael King, and Martin Perez was great post-trade deadline for them. That's a huge advantage. The Dodgers are really struggling right now in terms of their rotation. You know, Flaherty and Yamamoto are talented. We have to see what Yamamoto can give them lengthwise. He hasn't been able to really stretch out much since he came off the injured list. And then Walker Buehler is a wild card in Game 3. Been very inconsistent since coming off the IL. Stuff is way down. So the Padres have the huge edge in terms of starting rotation, and they have the better bullpen. The offense, as much as the Dodgers are explosive, the Padres are a little bit deeper at the back end of it, you know, the 5-9 hitters. So I actually do expect the Padres to win this series. I think they're just the team that's better structured right now for the postseason.
Kyle Glazer is with us from Southern California, MLB.com. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The big change for the Dodgers, of course, this season is Shohei Ohtani. Our first chance to see him on this postseason stage. And that was what his camp told us about why he made the jump to the Dodgers, is because he wanted to play in October. How big is this for baseball, Kyle?
It's great. You have the singularly most talented player to ever play the game now on the October stage. And that's something that's been missing since he came over from Japan. The closest thing we saw was him in the World Baseball Classic last year, and he absolutely rose to the occasion offensively on the mound, you know, winning games as a starter, coming on, clinching the save in the gold medal game, striking out Mike Trout to end it, all while hitting over 400 with a couple bombs. So this is someone who loves the big moments. He's been chomping at the bit. I interviewed him a lot when he was in Anaheim, and he always said his thing was he wanted to win. He wanted to win. He wanted to win. That's why the Dodgers made the most sense. And now he's got that opportunity. And I do expect him to make the most of it.
Really excited about that. While we're on the Ohtani tack, who are your MVPs this year?
Oh, easy. Ohtani and Judge. I mean, there's, you know, look, Francisco Lindor had a great year. Bobby Witt Jr. had a great year. But Shohei Ohtani yet again did something we have never seen before, the 50-50 season. Every year now he doesn't just have great seasons, he has unprecedented seasons. And Aaron Judge, again, was just absolutely unbelievable this year for the Yankees. To me, that the two of them should be unanimous.
You mentioned feeling like the Padres are the team to beat outside of the Phillies. What makes them even more dangerous?
You look at the Padres and the Phillies both, you have four healthy, effective playoff caliber starters, though now with Musgrove's injury, we have to see if that's still true for the Padres. You have a deep lineup, 1-9 of guys who can hurt you, and you have some bullpen weapons. The Phillies, to me, their lineup, as good as the Padres lineup is, the Phillies is just that much a little bit better. And now, especially with the Musgrove injury, I would give the Phillies rotation the edge as well. And look, the Phillies have accomplished more. They were in the World Series 2 years ago. They were in the NLCS last year and were one game away from getting back to the World Series. So I do think the Phillies are the team to beat in this postseason field. But I don't think the gap between them and the Padres is huge. It's very slight margin.
We have not seen the Yankees in the World Series since 2009. As much as people point to them as kind of the gold standard in baseball, it's been a fairly long drought. And offense has been a huge issue for them the last couple years in the postseason. What about this squad tells you it's any different, Kyle?
Well, I'll say this. They're a little more balanced. You know, in previous years, it was just a bunch of right-handed hitters trying to launch all the time. And that's fairly easy to game plan against and beat. This year, they made an intentional decision to try and get more left-handed. They brought in Juan Soto. They brought in Alex Verdugo. They brought in Trent Grisham. We've seen some better approaches at times from some guys. You know, Austin Wells, another left-handed hitter who's come up and done well. So it's a more balanced lineup, which is definitely a benefit. At the same time, you know, we've seen so many of these guys run so hot and cold. You feel good about Judge and Soto to a degree, Wells, but they're going to need Anthony Volpe to step up and be at his best. They're going to need Alex Verdugo to kind of find it again. I mean, they need everyone 1-9. It can't just be two guys and everyone else being a drag on the lineup like it has been at times this year.
What do we need to know about a team that is kind of flying under the radar, those Guardians?
They have the best bullpen in baseball. This is a lights-out bullpen, you know, led by Emmanuel Clase, who is one of the more amazing closers we've seen. Let me put it this way. If he was playing in New York, people would be hailing him as Mariano Rivera 2.0.
Wow.
He is truly exceptional, and I don't think people give him the recognition he deserves in terms of just how exceptional he is. You know, the Guardians are tricky. They play good baseball, but we've seen in previous years, they've had this dominant rotation. They don't really have that this year. They've had to piecemeal a little bit. It's more about a good enough rotation, a great bullpen that if they have a lead after five innings, the game's pretty much over. The X factor for them, I think, is Josh Naylor. You know Jose Ramirez is going to hit. You know, in the first half, Josh Naylor was raking, looked like a stud, really tailed off in the second half. The Guardians need that additional offense outside of Jose Ramirez, and I think Josh Naylor, if he provides it, it's going to be a big, big boost to them.
I was really blown away when I was reading about the first Padres-Braves game that it was done in 2 hours and 9 minutes. I kind of feel like I don't get my money's worth if I buy a ticket to a stadium and I only get 2 hours and 9 minutes. However, we know this is what baseball has been angling toward. This is the hill that Rob Manfred is prepared to die on, changing the pace of play in baseball. And then we find out, Kyle, that the average age of people going to stadiums and buying tickets has actually dropped. Five years in the last 5 years from 51 to 46. What does that say to you?
It says baseball's on the right track. I mean, look, I'm a big proponent of the game that's purest forms, but, you know, it's funny. People talk about let the game, you know, play, be played as it's always played. Baseball typically was a game that was played in 2.5, you know, hours to 2 hours, 40 minutes for the longest time. This, you know, surge up past 3 hours was really, really kind of a new development. When you just look at people's, you know, viewing habits and the fact that baseball at its core is an entertainment product, in order to ensure the long-term health of the game, they need to do this. I wrote about the pitch clock extensively when they rolled it out in the California League, minor leagues back in 2021. And as soon as I was seeing it play, I was like, this is actually really good. I was concerned or skeptical at first, but seeing it play out, like, this really works. And then they expand it to the minors and it really worked. And now it's really working in the majors. Now, you mentioned not getting your money's worth 2 hours, 9 minutes. I would argue you saw a game with 15 strikeouts and no walks from one side. And, you know, a monster home run for Fernando Tatis Jr. I would say you definitely got your money's worth, even if it was just 2 hours and 9 minutes.
Before I let you go, there's one big problem in Major League Baseball, and that's the Chicago White Sox. If you're contacted for some type of wisdom and advice, where do you start?
How many hours you got on the show? No, look, they need to fundamentally change everything about the way they scout players and, most importantly, develop players. They've just had way too many misses in the draft, and then in terms of players that they've acquired or drafted who we know are talented, they have failed to get the most from them developmentally. They really need to go back to basics of ensuring players are fundamentally sound, making sure that they're going to play good, clean baseball. I mean, we saw the White Sox just play terrible baseball for most of the year, and really put them in positions to get the most from their talent. So it starts with homegrown players, you know, drafting and developing better players, and then making sure the processes are in place to get the most from them. And to be honest, in order to do that, I think they need to bring in some fresh perspectives. They're a very insular organization. They've brought in some outsiders, but the leadership is still a lot of the same names and faces that have been in the organization for a while. And I don't know if that's going to lead them to the success they would like to try and get back to.
How long should this process take?
Generally speaking, when a team bottoms out in a rebuild, it's going to take 4 years from that date. That said, we've seen some teams turn around. The Royals lost 106 games a year ago, and now they're in the postseason. I will say the Royals had a much better track record of scouting and player development than the White Sox do, so that's why they were in position to do that. I have a hard time seeing it, you know, this team being competitive for at least the next 3 years, and that's, you know, that's probably on the low end. It's probably going to be longer than that.
Something to look forward to in Chicago. Kyle Glazer will be at Padres, Dodgers, and they've got a great history in the postseason, even the last few years. Make sure you follow him at Kyle A. Glazer, Glaser, MLB.com contributor, former senior writer at Baseball America. I hope you enjoy the series. Great to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, Amy.
Lots of food for thought there as we get ready for the division series. And oh, goodness, for the White Sox. They haven't even started with the changes other than manager. The rebuild, I think about the Astros going back to a couple of years in a row where they had 100-plus losses, and then with a few number one draft picks, early round draft picks. They were able to build a core that won a World Series and obviously the last seven American League Championship Series. It's possible, but you have to have the right leadership, of course. You have to have the right franchise builders and a new foundation and a new perspective and a new direction. Can Chicago find that? I just looked up on MLB Network and they had cameras inside the Padres clubhouse in San Diego. And right in the center of everything is a shirtless and completely soaked Manny Machado. Also, if you have not heard AJ Hinch addressing the Tigers in their clubhouse, it's pretty damn cool. I'm so happy for AJ Hinch, as I just told Kyle. I think that wrinkle is terrific. And he's too classy to say anything at all about beating his former franchise, the one that ultimately chose to replace him. During the course of his suspension, remember, they had to move on and find someone else, and he had to find a different path too. And so I think it's pretty amazing that he's got, you know, this restoration, if you will. He's got a second chance after hitting rock bottom, and look at his Tigers now, and they do it in Houston. We'll get to the American League. Love to hear from you. We got a post up now at Amy After Hours, as well as on our Facebook page. And I just want you to know, I am extremely proud of the GIF that I found for the question on our Facebook page. Just a fair warning, it's not a clear indicator of my opinion, but it's amazing. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I don't know how many of you have basketball on your brain. Maybe those of you who were rooting for Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever. You were all about the WNBA playoffs, and the numbers are still up, but not nearly as high or as drastic as what they would be if the Fever were still playing. So maybe you're not in basketball mode anymore, or maybe you're all into NBA training camps because they're about to get underway. We've had media days, and it's been, I guess, a smattering of interesting stories, including LeBron James and Bronny, who are now practicing together for the first time as teammates, which is weird to say. But that's going to be quite a scene when the two of them make their debut and they're teammates as father and son. We've never seen this before in the NBA or in pro sports. And so it's going to be pretty incredible. I'm looking forward to that. And there's a lot of chatter around that. Otherwise, I would say it's a relatively tepid kind of run-up to the start of the NBA season. Until now, Karl Anthony Towns leaving Minneapolis and joining the New York Knicks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
That trade became official on Wednesday, and now he can get to training camp with the Knicks and start something all new. And this is a trade that sends Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo, who is very popular with Knicks fans. They can start playing with Minnesota. And you've also got Charlotte that's involved in this. And it has to do with first a couple of future draft picks. And they were kind of making the deal work financially because that's something that has to even out when it comes to NBA trades. So Kat will speak with the media in Charleston, South Carolina, weirdly enough. That's where the Knicks are holding training camp. That's coming up Thursday for the first time since the trade. And it wasn't done, and so nobody was really talking about it. But now you're getting guys who are at least willing to open up and comment. So Tom Thibodeau, of course, used to coach the Timberwolves. So he was familiar with the challenges there. And, you know, they worked so hard and they made so many moves and they've had some star power there. We just haven't been able to bust through and win an NBA title. And so here are the Knicks bringing one of the most, I would say, And this is true even going back to last season when Anthony Edwards kind of took a starring role. But with Kat, unique, power forward, versatility, man, gets up and down the floor. He brings a ton of energy, size, of course. And here is Kat joining a team that is maybe a piece away. Maybe he is the piece away from also being a contender. Love what the Knicks have done and their direction since Jalen Brunson. He's changed the entire culture of that organization. And he actually says that he's already thinking about what they can do to incorporate Karl Anthony Towns and how they can set up and use the pick and roll in a devastating fashion. Not to mention Kat can pick and pop and shoot from the outside. So yeah, there's still a wrinkle that has made me a little more interested in the NBA than I would be otherwise. And so we'll get Kat's first public comments coming up on Thursday, but he did post a social media video as well as a statement to the Timberwolves and their fans on Wednesday. Yeah, baseball, football, that's where a lot of the focus is right now in the fall. But hoops and hockey, they're about to tip off and drop the puck on new seasons. So this is kind of a headline that will grab your attention. And there are others, as I say, LeBron James and Bronny together. Even if you don't like the Lakers, this is a storyline that everyone could get into just because it's unique history.
It's a lot of excitement, just pure joy, to be honest, to be able to come to work every day, you know, put in the work, hard work with your son, you know, every day, and be able to see him continue to grow. We push each other. He pushed me. I push him. We push our teammates and vice versa. So just a very joyous, moment for not only for myself, but for our family. And you know, starting here today with Media Day, you know, just we've been a couple photo booths, did an interview over there with Spectrum. That was pretty cool. So it's pretty awesome. Gives you a lot of life.
Yeah, it's fantastic, you know, to be able to be here and witness it, you know, in practice. And Bronny hit a three over him today. You know, everybody was talking smack, you know, in Bronny's favor. And then Bron came down and just like bullied somebody, just to, you know, took it out on who, I forgot who it was. And got a layup. Bronny came back down, hit another three, I think over Austin. And Bron wanted the ball. So you can see, like, even though they weren't matched up, the competition is there. And that's what we love to see. You know, obviously, we all know the historic significance of them too, you know, getting to share the court together. So we embrace it. It'll be even, you know, better when they're on the same team and, you know, one throws a lob to each other or, you know, you get a fantastic play. So, you know, we get to see that a couple times in practice. But, you know, I'm just honored to be here just to witness that.
So Anthony Davis, despite the music in the background, maybe a little hard to hear, but he said it's fantastic to watch and that Bronny hit a three over LeBron on, I guess it was Tuesday, Wednesday, and the whole team went nutso and we're talking smack to LeBron, who is then trying to get the ball back so he can respond. Then Bronny hits another three. And yeah, they don't play the same position, so they're not going to be matched up. And I don't know how much Bronny will get playing time right away. He can certainly play his way into the lineup. And it's not like the Lakers have been so full of depth everywhere that they haven't needed to bring guys in or make moves at the deadline. It is going to be intriguing. Again, you do not have to like LeBron. In fact, you can dislike LeBron and still think that this is one heck of a storyline coming out. And as you can imagine, the NBA will milk it. The NBA's broadcast partners will milk it. So we will see a lot of it. And maybe, just maybe, it's one way that the NBA can gain back some of the real estate it's lost on Christmas. Now that the NFL is broadcasting games on Christmas, the NBA has kind of lost that as its primary holiday. Wah, wah, wah. At A-Law Radio and then on our Facebook page, oh yes, I'm turning into the gift queen. They used to scare me. They used to make me nervous. I wasn't sure I could do it. And now that I've discovered how gifts can really tell a story, and in my case, I just use them for ways to make people laugh or ways to make me laugh, now I'm all into them. So check it out. I just want to point out that it's maybe not indicative of how I feel about the baseball playoffs, but you never know. I could be completely faking it. 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio and then our Facebook page. Coming up, Devontae Adams and Antonio Pierce talking about his desire to be traded out of Las Vegas. They both were standing in front of microphones on Wednesday. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Manny Rodriguez.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
All right, Amy, Mets fans had started the countdown. They were six outs away from moving on to the NLDS, but in the eighth, Jackson Chirillo and Garrett Mitchell each went yard off of Phil Maton to come back and beat the Mets 5-3. The series is now tied at one. Here is Mitchell after the game breaking down what went through his mind as he stepped to the dish in the eighth.
The moment's telling you to speed up. Try to do more, swing for the fences, whatever, you know, whatever you're thinking. But for me, it was just like, just attack in the zone. Like, try to see some, be yourself, be relaxed, pass it to the next guy. I mean, that was my mentality. I'm not trying to hit a homer there.
An elimination game is set for tonight. First pitch is slated for 6:08 Central Time. At Camden Yards, runs were scarce again, but it was the Royals getting by the Orioles 2-1, sweeping the series. An infield single by Bobby Witt Jr. drove in a run in the sixth that would end up being the difference. And after the game, the Royal shortstop says he plans on playing late into the month.
I think it's the start of something special. Like I keep saying, we didn't come this far just to come this far. And so we're just going to keep getting after it, keep trying to create our own legacy. And so it's pretty special to see what this team has done this year.
The next step for the Royals, the team that finished with the best record in the AL, the New York Yankees. More postseason finals. The gritty Tigers shocked the Astros 5-2. A bases-clearing double by Andy Ibañez in the eighth is the difference. The Tigers will now head to Cleveland for a best-of-five series with division rival Guardians. Also, for the first time since 2016, the ALCS will not feature the Astros. Lastly, the Padres outlast the Braves 5-4. Padres starter Joe Musgrove was removed in the fourth due to tightness in his throwing elbow. Luis Arraez, Fernando Tatis Jr., and Jackson Merrill each picked up a multi-hit game. The Padres will now take on the Dodgers in the NLDS. To the NFL, the Vikings have opened the practice window for tight end TJ Hockenson. He is returning from a torn ACL. I'm Manny Rodriguez.
He's under pressure. He's rolling out to the left. Raiders giving chase.
Ball's out.
It's Charles Snowden with the sack and the biggest play of the day. Charles Snowden off the edge. Back-to-back plays and the Raiders defense with 34 seconds left. Might have just won this game against Cleveland.
It was a trying week, to be honest, right? There's a lot of hoopla and stuff. Probably started with me with my comments, and I apologize to him for that. Don't want to be a distraction that way, but I think at the end of the day, we just went to work each and every day, and things came out throughout the week, and guys just never flinched and blinked. And then we just talked about playing one play at a time, playing for one another. Adam Butler spoke to the team, did a hell of a job with that, and got us going throughout the weekend.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, so that's how they rebounded from a loss against the Panthers at home to then beating the Cleveland Browns. So one of the wacky and weird arcs in the first month is those Raiders going on the road to Baltimore, rallying from a 10-point deficit in the fourth quarter to beat the Ravens at M&T Bank Stadium, then falling to Andy Dalton and the Panthers back in Vegas. And finally, and I'm quite certain there weren't a lot of Panthers fans who followed the team to Vegas, so you can't blame that. And then winning against the Browns and doing so in a way, that they were able to not only score the late touchdowns that they needed, but also come up with the defensive stops. And we'll see what happens next with the Raiders, but we do know the drama is not done. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Call there on Raiders Radio Network. So the latest from Devontae Adams and his camp, and you know how these things tend to leak out there. While he is rehabbing from a hamstring injury, and I do believe it's legit, but he's rehabbing from a hamstring injury. So he is not expected to play in week number 5. So that would mean for a guy who very rarely misses time on the football field, he is going to miss back-to-back games in a Raiders uniform. Not expected to play against the Broncos because of this hamstring injury. And I do believe, again, it's a legitimate injury. I don't know how serious it is if we're talking about an injury that could keep him out until he gets traded. Wink, wink, nod, nod. But I can also imagine if he really does believe that he's going to end up getting traded, that maybe there's incentive not to play. And I hate that, but I understand it. I really hate it when teams intend to part ways with a player late in a season and they bench the guy, like Josh McDaniels did with Derek Carr at the end of his first season in Las Vegas. You see the common theme here? Vegas. Well, when Derek Carr got benched and it was clear the team was going to move in a different direction at quarterback, I don't know if that's when Devontae Adams was one foot out the door. I don't think that's the case with him because he's focused on doing what he can. He always wanted to play with the Raiders, albeit when they were in Oakland. But he's a professional and he does his job. But maybe that was the beginning of the end because it started a revolving door at quarterback. Here he is, one of the best receivers, one of the most consistent receivers in football. And he's had five different guys throwing him the football since Derek Carr was benched. Guys like Jarrett Stidham, Aiden O'Connell, now Gardner Minshew. It's hard to win when you don't have a franchise quarterback. Remember he said to Kay Adams, he does her show, I think on a weekly basis up in Adams, that they were hoping in Vegas that Jaden Daniels would drop to the Raiders, that they would have been interested in getting him. They do have a second-year guy in Aiden O'Connell. He was a rookie last year. We saw him a little bit. Definitely needs more work. They've got Gardner Minshew, who can be hit or miss. It's kind of all or nothing with Gardner. He's also caught passes from Jimmy Garoppolo. That lasted almost a whole month in Vegas. Gosh, where is Garoppolo now? I know he's not playing. He's not on a roster, but it's interesting to think about his career arc, too. He plays in a Super Bowl with the Niners, and just since then, stepping down, and now stepping out of the league. Brian Hoyer. I mean, these are the guys that Devontae Adams has seen on the other end of the passes. But consider his football career before that. Derek Carr was his quarterback in college. They were roommates. They were best friends. And then Aaron Rodgers, his entire tenure in Green Bay. And now this. So maybe, just maybe, this all started. It began to unravel and go down a dark path when Josh McDaniels benched Derek Carr. Gosh, I remember what Josh McDaniels did in Denver. First traded away the quarterback, then traded away the wide receiver. A lot of it had to do with his ego. But yeah, this is kind of something that Josh McDaniels is known for. When he's in charge, he does like to bench and trade away pieces. Of course, now it's Antonio Pierce who took over late last year. Got the interim tag removed, and he's the one answering questions about Devontae. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Again, not expecting Devontae to play in week 5.
Devontae's dealing with a hamstring. He's rehabbing, and the rest of us are focused on Denver.
And we could play more and more of these exchanges where the reporters are peppering Antonio Pierce, probing for any kind of information about Devontae. There's really not a whole lot that he was going to give them. And so, yeah, they were asking about the Instagram post, the one that I think it was Sports Illustrated, the one that he liked, or someone from his verified account liked, that indicated Devontae Adams had asked for a trade. Or I guess it was that Devontae had played his last game with the Raiders potentially. Now, that like was later unliked, removed, undone, whatever the case is on Insta. I'm not that cool. And Antonio Pierce, he won't say anything about it, only that he's focused on the Broncos and Devontae's rehabbing his hamstring. Well, what about the relationship with his star wide receiver?
I mean, Devontae talk often.
Have you talked to him since all of this?
I'm going to leave that between me and Devontae.
Are you concerned at all about this being a distraction?
No, because we're focused on Denver.
See what I mean? That's essentially what you got from Antonio Pierce. He wasn't going to say a whole lot. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. A lot of you finding me on social media and telling me where you think Devontae should end up, or asking me where Devontae should end up. I mean, I think the Chiefs would love to have him, but I can't imagine that the Raiders will trade him in division. Even though he's only been with their franchise for a few years, they are in no way wanting to help the Chiefs continue to dominate the AFC West. Reportedly, Devontae prefers to go play with a quarterback that he has history with. And that makes sense. Again, considering how stable the quarterback situation for years with him in the NFL. And even in college, Derek Carr, also Aaron Rodgers. Well, those two guys are still playing. So yeah, it makes complete sense and total sense that he would be interested in playing for either the Saints, currently quarterbacked by Derek Carr, or the Jets, which we heard about in the preseason. Remember, his agents put the kibosh on that and said it's rubbish. I'm paraphrasing. No way. So Antonio Pierce won't give us a whole lot. Deadpan, pretending like it's a non-story, a non-starter. But there are guys inside the locker room that admitted this could be a distraction, like Jacoby Myers, who kind of steps into a much larger role when there's no Devontae Adams. And he actually acknowledged Devontae's situation is, quote, going to be a distraction, but it is what it is. It doesn't matter what we get hit with, compartmentalizing and moving forward. And yes, same thing with Pierce. Business as usual, preparing for Denver. Devontae would be a huge loss, in large part because, as I said, he's a consummate professional. He does his job regardless of what's going on around him. And, of course, he's got more touchdown receptions than any other receiver in the NFL since 2022. Since he got to Oakland. Since he got to the Raiders organization, Oakland, now Vegas. He's got 23 touchdown passes, three this year, I believe. So, yeah, nobody in the wide receiver ranks in the NFL has more than he does going back the last two-plus years. But I can't help but think these dominoes were put in motion, this string of events, series of events, put in motion when Josh McDaniels benched Derek Carr. Ultimately, McDaniels getting biffed, but not before starting the sequence of events. And I'm telling you, going back to Denver, he traded away Jay Cutler. Then he traded away Brandon Marshall. He didn't like when there were guys who would challenge him. Derek Carr played nice, kind of left when the Raiders wanted him to. He went to New Orleans, and maybe, just maybe, there was a reunion waiting with Devontae Adams. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.